come on up. And Frank, cue the comic. Anybody see that today? Manning versus Brady, 2046. So 30 years from now, they're playing checkers, if you can't see that. Manning going, Omaha, Omaha. Brady's drinking from a milk bottle saying, wah, wah, wah. I thought that was good. All right, so look, hey, can I have a seat too? All right, so you guys got to help me with something here. So imagine you go to a foreign land, way far away, okay, and you go there as a missionary to tell people about Jesus. And you don't normally wear a hat, but one day a year, everybody, all the natives, all the village people, they wear a hat like this, okay? You're there as a missionary, and my question to you is, would you wear the hat?
Yes, if it was hot.
If it was hot, well, but you normally wear a hat. You don't like hats. But everybody there, all the village people, all the townspeople, they wear a hat. And you're there as a missionary for Jesus, and everybody else in town that day is going to wear a hat. Would you wear a hat?
Yes.
Oh, yes, why?
Because if you're in a country, you got to do what they do, but not if it's against God.
So if you're in a land or in a foreign country, you got to do what the people do unless it's against God. So, well, I see, because I was wondering what you guys would do, so that helps me out. Because if you go and all the natives, you know, I think for the sake of the natives, you should do what it takes to, here, hold that. I just need to follow Becca's clothing advice and wear this. What do you think?
It's
very bright.
Hi.
This has nothing to do with today's sermon. All right, let's pray. Just thought I'd have fun with you guys. Let's pray together. Let's pray. I just want to be like the natives today. You want to say something?
That God loves me.
Yeah, he does love you. Let's pray to the God who loves you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. And I thank you for these kids. We pray your blessing upon them as they go to a children's church or sit with their parents. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go. Very good. I just thought I'd have a little fun, you know. Okay, on a more serious note, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Another psalm of David that clearly has two parts. As you listen, I'm sure that you will recognize that. The title of the message this morning is What You Do Not Want and the Joy of That Prayer Answered. Psalm 28. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord! He has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Did you hear two parts? Prayer and praise. Spurgeon said, he who prays well will soon praise well. If you're a believer in the midst of a trial and you've been waiting on the Lord, but there's no answer, what then? Let me say that again with a few comments. If you're a believer, stop there. Are you a believer? If not, you know, if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, perhaps you're here because you have a loved one who is a believer, and I would encourage you today. If you're here today, you're not a Christian, you don't love Christ, you don't know the gospel, If you're here today and you have a loved one who is a believer, I would encourage you, listen to what I have to say and learn something about your loved one and what they believe. If you're a believer in the midst of trial, stop there. Well, that's like all the time, right? We said last week, we learned last week from Acts 14:22, it is through many tribulations that we must enter into the kingdom of God. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, which is the word for multicolored. If you're a Christian, we have trials all the time. They're part of the Christian life. So I say, if you're a believer in the midst of a trial, and you've been waiting, stop there. Remember last week's Psalm, Psalm 27. Our memory verse for the month. The last verse, the verse preceding this psalm. Look at it. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. But wait. What if you're a believer in the midst of a trial, and you've been waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and He hasn't strengthened your heart? He's not answering. And I say, well, you need to pray. You say, Pastor, I've been praying. Well, you just need to pray some more. I've prayed more already. What do you do then? You know, that's a very critical moment in the Christian life. If you're a believer, you're in the midst of some trial, and you've been waiting and you've been praying, but there's no answer, now we're in a new situation. Not totally new. But you know what? Your focus is going to shift, as it does with David here. And the thought can enter your mind, because there are all kinds of temptations in the depths of a trial. And the thought can enter your mind, what if He never answers? What if He never answers? That's what Psalm 28 is, the first half. David is thinking, what if He never answers? I'll tell you what, there's what you don't want. What you do not want is that God would become silent to you. And that's what happens here. What do you do then? Well, if you're a believer in the midst of a trial and you've been waiting, but the Lord has not answered, and you begin to wonder, what if He never does? You know what you need to do? I didn't read the last line of verse 14, the previous psalm. Wait, I tell you. Wait, I tell you, on the Lord. That's what David's doing in Psalm 28. Look what he says. To you I will cry, as in, I am going to keep on crying to you. This is David's commitment. He's in the depths. God hasn't answered. He's been waiting. There's no strengthening of his heart. And he says, to you I'm going to keep on crying, O Lord. Why? My rock. You know what that means? You are the foundation for my life. I base all my hopes about the future on you. He's trying to convince God to hear him. To you, I'm going to keep on crying, God. To you and not to man. I'm not going to turn somewhere else for hope. But Lord, don't be silent to me. That's a new prayer request. You know, we ask for prayer requests. Got any prayer requests? How many do you hear? I got one. Would you please pray that God would not be silent to me anymore? That He would stop being silent to me? Because I've been praying about the other concern that I thought was my main concern, but now I have a new one. And it's that God is not answering. That becomes the new prayer concern in the depth of a trial. And that's where David was. Why is that so bad? Why do you never want it that God would keep on being silent to you? Look what he says. Verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, if you keep being silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Are there people headed for the pit? Yes, there are. You know why? Because the Lord is not their rock. They're not building their life on the Lord. They don't trust in what He says. They're not banking their hopes for the future on Him. They're not banking their life on Him. They're like the people who have built their life on sand, that when the storm comes, their house gets washed away. David says, please, I don't want to be like them. Don't be silent to me. Verse 2, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands to your holy sanctuary, a posture of openness. God, here I am. I'm open to you. You know everything. You see my heart. And a picture of readiness. I'm ready to hear from you, God. I'm here. Please don't be silent to me. A picture of dependence. God, I don't have anybody else but you. A very fitting posture for prayers when you're in the depth of despair and you've been waiting and God's not answering you, saying, God, come on. Verse 3. Don't take me away with the wicked. This is the believer's nightmare. The believer's nightmare is the trial gets so bad and God has not answered for so long that you know what you start to do? You start to think, What if he never answers and I'm not saved? You say, well, none of us ever have any doubts whatsoever about our salvation, ever. Well, I guess you're not like David. Because David is saying, God, what if you don't hear me? Don't take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts, speaking of hypocrites. Don't take me away with the wicked and the hypocrites. I know there's people that look ungodly and they are ungodly. I know there's people that look godly, but they're ungodly too. And I know that when you take them away, I don't want to go with them. That's why I bank my life on you. I have fled from the wrath of God that is to come, and I bank my hopes and my trust and my life on you. Don't take me away with them. You say, well, why would he have any fear of being taken away with the wicked and the hypocrites? Because guess what he is? A sinner. Saved by the grace of God. Oh, didn't David sin? You think when he committed sin with Bathsheba that he ever tried to put on the face that he was still godly? You think after he killed her husband Uriah that he still tried to maybe put on a face that he's godly? He knows that he's been guilty of wickedness and hypocrisy, and so have we. And David is in the depths of despair saying, oh God, don't be silent to me. Stop not listening to my prayers. Stop not answering me. I'm begging you. Give the wicked, verse 4, give them according to their deeds. Give them according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render them what they deserve. And as one man said, this may be a little severe to your New Testament ear, but God has revealed in His Word that He is going to repay according to deeds. In fact, the beginning of the gospel in the book of Romans, Romans 2 says that God is going to judge according to four principles, and three of them are terrible. He's going to judge according to your deeds. He's going to judge without any partiality. That means it doesn't matter who you are, what your name is, or where you were born. God is impartial. He's going to judge according to truth. That means He knows everything you've ever done. And if God only judged according to those three principles, you're dead. But He's also going to judge forth according to the gospel. You know what the gospel is? Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins. God is going to judge according to those four criteria. And if you don't believe in the gospel, then refer to the previous three. And David is praying according to the will of God, and he's saying, God, judge them. And in verse 5, he explains why God is going to repay the wicked, because they don't regard the works of the Lord nor the operation of His hands. They have no regard for the Lord and what He's done. They have no regard for what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. They have no regard for what happened at the flood. They have no regard for God's choosing Abraham, choosing a nation, setting His love on them, making a covenant with them, producing the Holy Scriptures. They have no regard for any of that. They're just living their lives day to day, walking according to the lust of their own flesh, like we used to do, if you're a believer. But David is saying, give them according to their deeds, and I know you're going to. He says at the end of verse 5, you're going to destroy them and not build them up. In other words, you're going to destroy them forever. But God, don't take me away with them. You got to hear my prayer. And you know what? This can happen anytime you're in a trial. And the lesson here is, in the midst of a trial, there's definitely something you don't want, and it's that God would keep on being silent to you, and you know what you need to do then? Keep on waiting. Doesn't change. The counsel from last week never changes. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage means just keep going forward boldly. You keep on praying. You keep on trusting. Keep on seeking the Lord. Don't stop that no matter what, even if you're going to die. Why? Because He's your rock. That's why. There isn't any other rock. The reason there are people going down to the pit is because they have no rock under them to save them. If you're a believer in the midst of a trial and you've been waiting on the Lord, but He hasn't answered, He has not strengthened your heart as it promises in Psalm 27:14. If you become so troubled that you start to wonder, what if He never hears? The thing for you to do is pray and beg Him to stop being silent. You say, well, does He ever hear a prayer like that? Look at the next verse. Psalm 28:6. Blessed be the Lord! Like, what just happened here? The guy was like crying a second ago, and now he's, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He tells us. Blessed be the Lord! He's heard the voice of my supplications! You say, well, wait, how did that happen? Did God just take away all the wicked and David is left standing? No. If you cried out to me and said, Pastor, I stop being silent to me. I need your help. Listen to me, Pastor, here. Stop being silent to me. And then you get a word from me. You know you've been answered. David got a word from God? Say he did? Yeah. In fact, he got a word from God that doesn't just concern him, but that concerns all of us. That's why he kept writing Psalms. Look what he says. Blessed be the Lord. He's heard the voice of my supplications. Ha ha! The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. And with my psalm, my song. Psalms are songs written by the prophet of God to tell you who God is and what He's like and how He deals with people. And you know what? Psalm 29, with that one He praises God. Psalm 30, with that one He praises God. Psalm 31, 32, 33, 34. You read the next five Psalms and it's just, praise God, praise God, praise God. Ha ha, He hears prayers. Trust in Him. Take a glance. Look what he says. Psalm 28:8, real quick. He's praising the Lord with a psalm. The Lord is the strength of His people. That's what it literally says. He's the saving refuge of His anointed ones, those who are anointed with the Spirit of God. Look at Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to His people. He will bless His people with peace. How does He know? Because He just got blessed with peace. Look at Psalm 30:1. I will extol You, O Lord, for You've lifted me up. You haven't let my foes rejoice over me. Look at verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How does he know? Because he just got it. He was weeping at night, and God answered in the morning, and now he's praising God with the Psalms. And he's telling you that if you trust in the Lord, you will be helped. Look at Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you've prepared for those who trust in you. Ha ha! He's rejoicing. Why? Because God answered his prayer. Look at Psalm 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage. Does that sound familiar? Repeating the same advice. God answered his prayer. And God did not answer his prayer by changing the circumstance. You know how God often answers prayer? You open the Bible, you cry out to Him, you wait upon Him, and all of a sudden you look at Scripture and you go, ha ha! You know what? When God answers your prayers, that's a Zuzu's Petals moment. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you go to YouTube and type Zuzu's Petals. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find George Bailey, who had been on the bridge, looking down. He's ready to jump. He's going to kill himself. His life is over, right? He looks down, and then a big chunk of the movie is what he envisioned. He got to see what life would have been like had he never been born. And all of a sudden, he comes to, and he's like, ah, Zeus's Petals, yeah, woohoo, right? I'm telling you what, that is a joy that if you're not a believer, you don't know that joy, and you never will, unless you believe. That is the joy of answered prayer. When you've been waiting on God, and you're in this trial, you've been crying out, God, give my son a good wife. And the next thing you know, he's got a good wife. Yay! Woohoo! Right, Matt? Listen, this can happen all the time. I'm telling you what. Friday, I got a text from Adam Schaefer back there. Want to go snowboarding Saturday? And you know what my first thought was? I can't go snowboarding Saturday. I don't understand Psalm 28. I got to work Saturday. I wish I understood it better, but I don't. And I'm like, man, I want to go snowboarding. I'm like, God, please help me. I really want to go snowboarding with Adam, because that would be ministry, right? That would be ministry. And I am telling you, you could condemn me, whatever. God didn't. I'm driving down Route 50, and I get through Canyon City. I'm in the Narrows there. You know right where I'm at, right? The Narrows along the river there. And I'm telling you, God opened Psalm 28 to me while I'm driving the car. And I'm like, and I start crying. I'm like, that's it. Yeah, that's it. I get it. That's it. Listen, and here's it. There is a God in heaven who is so good. And if your trust is in Him, if He's the rock of your life, if you have trusted in God for salvation, don't ever stop. I don't care what the trial is. If you get to the depths of your being and you think your loved one's going to die, you're going to die, don't stop trusting in God there and turn elsewhere. That's the moment to get on your knees and lift up your hands and say, oh God, stop being silent to me. Hear my prayers. Don't take me away with a wicked God. And I'm telling you, He will answer that and you'll have joy like you've never had before. I'm telling you, I'm driving, yeah, woohoo, I'm going snowboarding today, and I'm going to know Psalm 28. He will answer your prayer in the depths of your trial. This is the Christian life. Look what he says, verse 7. The Lord's my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, I'm helped. That's so simple, isn't it? I trust in God, He helps me. Ha! Here's the Christian life. And with my song I will praise Him. And then he begins praying for us. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving refuge of His anointed. Oh God, save Your people. They need to be saved too. And bless Your inheritance. God's inheritance is the assembly of all who have trusted in Him. That's His inheritance. And David's saying, bless everyone who has ever, or who is now, or whoever will trust in You. Bless them all. He's saying, oh, shepherd them also. Why? Because we're going to go through many trials. And we need God to shepherd us by His word. And he's saying, shepherd them, God. Guide them. Guide them, direct them, don't let them leave you. Shepherd them also, and then lift them up forever. You say, well, will He do that? When Jesus Christ came, He said this, John 6:39, this is the will of the Father who sent me. You know, when Jesus says, here's the will of the God who sent me, you better listen up and say, what is it? John 6:39, here's the will of the Father who sent me. That of all that He has given to me, of all the people that God has given to me, that's not everybody. The Father has given the Son a people to redeem. Jesus says, of all the people that God the Father has given me, I should lose not one of them, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. That is the will of God for Jesus Christ. That in the final day, Jesus Christ will raise up to eternal life everyone who has ever trusted in Him. In case there was any mistake or you missed something, he says in the next verse, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise Him up at the last day. You say, well, what if you didn't see Him? And then Jesus said later, blessed is the one who doesn't see and still believes. If you're a believer in the midst of trial and you've been waiting on the Lord, and He hasn't answered yet, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. What if He doesn't? Wait, I say, on the Lord. What if you're not a believer? What if you're not a believer? If you're here today and you're not a believer, then here is the takeaway for you from this psalm. You better become one. Why did you say you better become one? Didn't you hear what the psalm said? The wicked and hypocrites. If you're here today in church and you're not a believer, maybe you're being drawn to the Lord. That would be great. Then today is the day for you to believe. Or maybe you just put on the dress, put on the suit, put on the face, put on the attitude, sang some songs, but in your heart, you don't love Christ, you don't know Christ. I'm telling you, the good news is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you will be saved. Don't leave here without Christ. So you want to go to the pit? You want God to render to you according to what you deserve? I don't want what I deserve. And you don't want what you deserve either. Is there anyone here today who's ready to be saved? Is there anyone here today who's ready to be saved? So you're all saved. You've all, the Lord is your rock for every single one of you. Are you sure? People around you who look at your life, would they say, oh, yeah, you've definitely been building your life on Christ. I mean, your hope is in Him, your trust, you love Him, you're keeping His commandments, you talk about Him and you tell others about it. Is that what they would say? Is Jesus Christ your rock? If he's not, right now is the time for you to say, God, have mercy on me. Don't be silent to me. Pray to God today. Don't take me away with the wicked. Pray that prayer today. Pray Psalm 28. Don't take me away with the wicked. God, be my rock. Become my rock. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to know you, to live for you. And I'm telling you, if today you will humble your hard heart before God and confess your sins and call upon Him for salvation, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be saved today. He's going to wipe away all the sins that you have ever committed, which if they were on a screen right now, all your sins, if they were on the screen right now, you would be so ashamed. God will wipe them clean so that your slate will be as clean as that, and it will never get another sin imputed there. Not one will ever be recorded. The next psalm, one of the next psalms says, blessed is the one who has been completely forgiven of all their sins, and God isn't imputing any new ones to you. If you believe in Christ today, you'll be saved. Not only that, He will give you His Holy Spirit to live within you to help you make it through every trial that's ahead of you. How could you leave here without that? I beg you. You know, nobody's raising their hand saying, I'm ready to be saved. But I'll tell you what, if you're just ashamed to raise your hand, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, today is the day for you to be saved. Is anyone ready to be saved? If you are, either right now as I pray or come to us after service or something, don't go another day without Christ. I beg you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your Word and for Your faithfulness. You are the rock, the only rock that there is for mankind, for sinners. And I pray, dear God, if there is anyone here today who's not saved, I pray that You would save that soul today for Your glory and for all of our joy, that we all could rejoice in answered prayer. I pray, God, for any Christian here who's in trial, and I pray, God, that in the depths of trial, that we would not stop trusting in You, but wait upon You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preparation for communion. Let us sing the chorus together. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Be glorified in our
Philippians 1:20 says, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. As we partake of communion together, we are testifying again our hope. Christ is coming again. He's paid for our sins. We have a home with him. Let's remember that as we partake of communion. Pastor Rick, why don't you come and share?